Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Aileen Drexler, Jordana Abraham, and Sammy Sage. Before they were business partners, they were close friends who've known each other since elementary school.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Get to know the women who've been making us laugh since 2011.
Who allowed you to take my breath away?
This is At Betches.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And I'm Jordana.
And we're going to catch you up to speed on the latest Erika Jayne stuff. Plus, we're going to be talking about a new show that we've all watched independently, and we've heard so many people have been watching it over kind of the weekend, I guess. It's called My Unorthodox Life on Netflix. And then we're going to play a really fun game at the end. You know, we love games. And it's all about best reality TV villains. Dun, dun, dun.
Before we get to that, Sammy, you're in LA. Do you want to tell us anything? Just tell us I don't want to hear about like the details of the trip.
I don't want to hear like,
something. I don't want to hear
something. I want to hear like if something interesting happened. Like I don't need to know like the restaurants you went to. You could talk to Aileen about that like on the side.
Yeah. Also, you could just like look at my Instagram story. You want to see the restaurants. Okay. The most interesting story is how Mark Cuban was sitting behind me and Kay yesterday at the pool the entire day. And we kind of like became like a little friends, like, you know, not like really friends.
If you were really friends, you would have taken a picture.
No, I purposely didn't take a picture because I wanted to be like natural and chill about it. You know what I mean?
How did you guys enter into the natural IRL DMs?
You didn't ask for a picture. You just talked about it on your podcast the next day.
No. This girl who was sitting like two chairs next to him asked him to watch her bag, and then she left for like a really long time. And at one point, I
tried to
steal
the bag.
That's a really cute bag or whatever. And I said it like kind of loud because we were really close. Like he was like right there. And so I kind of like made a joke, and he like looked at me saying that. So I kind of made a joke to him like, oh, so you're working for her now? Like you're watching her bag. And then he like played along with it and like went with it, and then we started like talking or whatever, and then later on he said to us like, I don't need to go through like the whole conversation because you said to keep it short, but like we were like chatting a little bit
and then, to the guidelines,
and then at the end he was like, I'm going to go record Shark Tank, and I was like, oh my god, is Barbara here? And he goes, no, she's staying in her house in LA. And I said, well, tell her one of the betches says hi. She'll know what I'm talking about. And then he was like, okay, I will. And then like saw him again on, and then he like left or whatever. And then I saw him again, like chilling in one of the seating areas. And I was like, hey. And he like, you know, waved back, like he remembered me. And, you know, it was great. Love Mark Cuban.
What was proprietary about this conversation?
Oh, absolutely nothing.
Yeah. The celeb sightings in LA are fun.
That's like, so funny. Yeah,
remember
are.
When Jordana, you and I were at Nice Guy, and we noticed that Seth MacFarlane was sitting next to us alone, and
he was waiting for someone or something.
We didn't know that,
right?
And it took us like a whole appetizer course worth to like get the courage to be like, "Hey, you want to join us?"
Yes.
And then he said no, but he was very friendly about it, right? No,
yeah.
Maybe we asked him if he wants to take a shot. That's what we said.
I think we asked him if he wanted to sit with us, and he said no.
But he said he was waiting for someone, but he was really friendly about it. But that was really fun.
Was he really waiting for someone? Did the person like show up?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. It was like two people. LA is like Disney World, but instead of characters, you see like real celebrities. It's crazy.
Yeah,
that trip was so funny. We were waiting for our friend also at a restaurant, and Jordana goes to me, that guy next to you looks like John Stamos.
Was it John Stamos? I was trying to remember who we saw.
And then I look quickly to my right, I go, Jordana, that is John Stamos. It was just like a bunch of that over and over again. It was really funny.
Yeah. Because it is Kathleen Kelly.
Yeah,
I watched.
Because it is.
Well, also last night at dinner, like Heather McDonald walks in like to where we were eating, and she was like, and she starts filming Bruce. She's like, that is the cutest dog ever. And she starts just like taking all these videos of him. And I was like, okay, well, I'm obviously going to like introduce myself to her. And like,
yeah.
And she's like, now that she's filmed my dog for like 10 minutes. So hopefully we're going to do a podcast exchange with her now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Juicy Scoop.
Juicy Scoop. Yeah.
Speaking of her, wasn't she in the documentary about Erika Jayne?
Yes, because she like broke news about it on her Juicy Scoop podcast.
Right, Juicy Scoop.
What news
Juicy
did Scoop. She break?
That was I don't like remember. Not- she had interviewed someone who I think was like in, someone who was in, involved, but before it was more out.
Well, that's the perfect segue into our next topic, which is the episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills last week. It was so funny. I think I saw a meme. It was like, I never thought I would find Real Housewives of Beverly Hills much more interesting and exciting than New York, which is like totally the case this season.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
But I think New York is going to turn around seeing the mid-season trailer. It looks like it's going to get wild. So hopefully it does have a turnaround because it's only been half.
Did someone in production have like a talk with them halfway through? Like, listen, guys, you're going to have to step it up.
I don't know. No, it's already filmed.
No, but like while they were filming, I mean.
Who knows? Who knows? But I know I think production is the reason why it's not. It's like all produced. It's all editors and production telling them what they should talk about, what they should do, who should do what. So it's not their fault necessarily. But I think half this, that it's going to get, hopefully, according to this trailer, which looks really fun, it's going to get a little bit more like, you know.
Exciting.
Rony.
Exciting.
But yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Beverly Hills. We haven't watched the new episode that's coming out technically today when this episode comes out because we recorded it yesterday.
Right. The episode will already be out before.
So, yeah, we haven't seen it.
But we will not have the context of it.
But we're going to talk about the last episode where Erica put on quite a performance, in my opinion.
Yeah. Makeup and all.
With the mascara fiasco.
Oh, she got dragged. So I wonder if she had any idea that she would just be memes all over the internet.
It was ridiculous. She should have been memed. Like I was watching it and there's two parts and I posted about it because I couldn't contain myself. There was two parts that were just extra absurd. The mascara scene, which never would have happened had she wanted it to happen.
And she wears sunglasses to breakfast in the Tahoe house.
Exactly. That's like, what I was thinking. She would have been wearing breakfast. And Camille's tweet. What did I say? Would have been wearing sunglasses to breakfast. Camille's tweet.
Share Camille's tweet.
Camille's tweet said, basically, like, I was in the pool with her in the Bahamas and I saw no mascara running then. So while Camille is looking for attention and she is kind of annoying, she's not on the show. She's right. Like, funny. Right. Like, way to troll her a little bit because it's true. What did you guys think of that scene?
I mean, I thought that it was just like, look, she's an actress. The woman was on Broadway. And I don't think that she's not genuinely upset about her life crumbling. I just think, like, it's not that hard to cry about, like, about what's happening to her, even if she is somehow, like, liable or aware or, like, knows additional things that she's not saying. Like, the tears, I do think, like, were real. And if you were her, you'd probably be really upset, too.
I agree about the real tears.
But I think she's
lying
about why. Right. It was totally a show. Totally a show.
I did feel bad for her in moments. Maybe just she's, I guess, a good enough actress for me to feel bad for her if she actually did know stuff. But I do think, I don't know, I feel like this is what happens. I would feel worse for her if she had, for the past few years, been talking about her crumbling marriage or her relationship issues with Tom or some other things. Like, when you come out, you can't, like, suddenly decide to be honest and have everyone believe you all in one season. If she had set herself up for this of, like, maybe even, like, last season being like, yeah, like, things, you know, are not the way they used to be, or like, instead of just being like, yeah, Tom works so hard and he's so amazing and he's so proud of me that I went, like, the only scene they showed about her and Tom was when she tells him she got the part in Chicago and he's like so happy for her and it makes him seem like he's so supportive. And then this season she's like, and Tom didn't come see me, and Tom, like, it's like you can't pretend everything's great and then turn around one season and say everything was terrible the whole time and expect us to believe everything you were saying because you've been lying for the past
several years. To me, like, there are certain, while I want to believe, I don't not believe her, but it's just like all of this is, there's just so much against, there's so much evidence in the way that it's playing out on Beverly Hills to support not believing her, because if you notice, she's planting seeds in support of like Tom's defense, like like the Alzheimer's, like all of that, and how he's deteriorating. And to me, that feels like it's all part of a plan. While I don't know if it is, obviously, but it feels like it. Also, the very convenient way in which she left and has not spoken to him since to completely like get her off of knowing what has gone on since she left him is also interesting. A point to note. Okay. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, Aileen, to what you're alluding to, I hate to be like very, you know, kind of wildly speculative about it, but let me be for a second.
Allegedly.
I think if I'm Tom Girardi, I know, like, think about like who Tom Girardi is. He's a man who can look his clients in the face who are victims of like severe health and like accident issues, and he can look them in the face and then he can rob them blind and then lie to them and say that he didn't rob them blind. So like anyone who can do the things that we saw in the documentary, and I think there is going to be another documentary, I'm pretty sure, I've heard, if someone can do that, like, you're probably going to do the most corrupt things you can possibly do. So my guess is that, like, first of all, I don't think Tom's money is gone. I'm sure there is some secret account offshore, allegedly, that she knows that she needs him to get access to. So I feel like him as a lawyer said, okay, like, we're gonna separate, you're gonna hate me, you're gonna pretend that it's because you just hate me.
Yeah.
And they knew that they knew this was happening. They knew that he was about to get into like big trouble because she had to sit for a deposition that she never actually sat for because of COVID.
Also, think about when this was filmed.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Like, so this didn't film just now. This was like a year ago.
Right. So they knew it was all going to come apart because COVID is the reason it came apart, because the courts were closed, because so he couldn't get more settlements like to feed the Ponzi scheme. So like that's
alleged
why
Ponzi
alleged Ponzi scheme. So. Right. I think he basically said to her, like, we're going to divorce and like, I'm going to Primal Fear it, you know, like with his little dementia.
Shout out Mazzini.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. With his dementia. And right. He's basically, he knows like he knows the best way out. He's a lawyer. Agreed. And I think he thought like, this will be the best way to preserve everything for both of us.
Right, I agree. And for her, like, there's no prenup. She knows she needs to, like, for her to get out, she needs
He has no
money.
Interest in screwing her. Why would he suddenly want to, like, screw her? I don't believe that she, like, left him in the middle of the night and scorned him.
Neither.
And, like,
yeah. Me neither.
I got my little house where I'm doing
her
my
little
dishes.
House with the Bravo editors showing her, like, massive pool house at the same time while she's, like, opening Vogue. Like, that is the funniest.
My
like,
little house.
Oh, yeah. And then they're like, your house is huge. And she's like, oh, honey, stop it.
Oh, please. Like, right.
Oh, my God.
No, also, that scene was in that scene with the opening the Vogue, you saw her like hopelessness. Did you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, her whole like thing is now like just like it's all. Yeah. It's so funny how everyone who comes up with like the songs about like how rich and classy they are like the least rich and classy people. Like you think about like it's expensive to be me, like she had to name the song that one. or like with Luann where she's like money can't buy you class and then she's like arrested for it's just like don't write a song. People in glass houses shouldn't write songs.
When's Melissa Gorga gonna fall down by that track record?
What was her song called?
What her song
on
was
display, on display.
I guess she is still on display. Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepy's Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom-milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their Zip Footy Pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
Here's what I think the move for Erica Jane should be, personally. If I were her, here's what I would do.
Yeah.
I would go to jail, like white collar prison, for like less than a year, probably.
I don't think she gets to choose.
I would get my lawyer to finagle some sort of plea deal where I like go to jail, and while I'm there, I write a book. Everyone will buy it because like, it's going to be the true tell-all of what actually happened. People would buy it. Sammy would definitely buy it.
Oh, sure. Oh, definitely. And
then she'll come out and she'll be like Teresa. She'll be like the star of the show. And like everyone will watch to see like how her life pans out. And like if I were her, I think that's more the move than this whole like denial route.
I think she would do well in jail.
I think she would too. I think she'd be great in jail. She'd be fine. She'd probably run the jail. She'd be like, she'd be great. She would have no makeup. It would be like, you know, people would, she'd get so much paparazzi attention. Like, going to jail was actually great for Teresa because now she is like the long-standing star of The Real Housewives of New Jersey. So I really do think that Erica should like try to copy that. Whatever happened.
Career model.
You know, she doesn't even have any kids that she has. She can't be in jail
she
for.
She has a kid. Like, he's a cop.
But, like, yeah, but he's like older. You know what I mean? She doesn't have like four daughters at home under the age of 13.
Daughters.
No, that is, I mean, okay, I can see that if she can't afford any PR advice, she should take yours.
The other scene that I thought was very telling from the show was that scene in her confessional when her voice got so low, it was almost unrecognizable. No, like in the confessional scene, and she was like looking everywhere, and she was like, so like taking these like short,
I know how short, utterly dismissive Tom is.
Like these like long pauses, and I thought of Friends. You know when Joey is doing the script and he goes, "How are you?" Long pause, and Jeff Goldblum is like, "No, you take a long pause." He's like, "Oh, I thought that was like somebody's name." And I was just like, "These are she's taking acting cues. This I feels like a day restless." Whatever it's called, Days of Our Lives acting, which is her forte.
Maybe
so. You know what I'm talking about? The one.
Yes,
with the
I
red
know what you're
suit.
Talking. I agree. She would thrive in jail, and she should write the real truth.
She might not be able to. She won't get any money.
Tom Girardi can be like Joe Giudice,
but maybe like Italy. Okay. But maybe she doesn't. But maybe she doesn't want to write a book because. Maybe she would have to return all her funds from the book to the victims. Like, since how Tom's not going to be able to do that.
Well, Teresa didn't. Well, Teresa did actually do that, I think.
Well, Teresa owed the government. And I think she owed way less than Tom Girardi. I think Tom Girardi owes victims, like, hundreds of millions of dollars. Like,
and she's named in these suits.
Yeah.
Like,
well, okay, now what's coming up, and let's just talk about this really quickly, what that Rinna thing was before we move on to my unorthodox life. So that Camille feud then basically like led to the trustee for Girardi Keys, who's trying to recover the funds from Erica. He tweeted about Rinna, like how Rinna shouldn't be defending Erica because she like has some sketchy things in. And it seems like this trustee thinks that like the other women are somehow like tied up in it. And I think there was speculation that Erica maybe invested in Rinna's makeup line.
And then she like knew about it?
Not that she knew about it, but that like if Erica then invested money, those funds are not legitimate. Like, and she put them in Rona's company.
There is something interesting about the way that they're like tight, like this group of five women.
And that they all have sketchy legal things, like all of them.
Not all of them.
No, all of them.
What does Kyle have?
What's
Mauricio? What's stuff with Mauricio and this house that he and his partner flipped for like 30 mil, and they earned like $30 million that it's like there's questions about it. I have to like go into it. This is all obviously alleged, but there is like a Mauricio thing as well.
Sammy, one of the episodes coming up, you should do a, since you read, you know about the Kathy Hilton sit. Yeah. I actually do want to hear all about that, but I don't want to like read a book about it. So maybe you can do a
okay, one day we can do Kathy Hilton.
What about Kathy Hilton?
Oh, you were out when we recorded this episode. Sammy was saying there's all these like Hilton family secrets and like Hilton scandals that like they portray Kathy as this like obviously like who is hunky dory person, but she's actually like a lot more like manipulative, and there's a lot more going on with her. And oh, I want to hear about like the Kathy Senior. Was that her name?
Big Kathy.
Big Kathy.
Big Kathy. Big Kathy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm interested.
We could do that.
I agree that Kathy's being played off a little bit too one way. There's no way she's just like, you know, ditzy and howls at her dog. Like, that's not just like her only personality. But there are some supporting things, like Paris once saying, like, I really don't know what she knows she's what she's signing up for. Like, so I think there are some things to support it that are outside the way that she is portrayed or the way that editors make her out to be, but that said, she is highly entertaining.
I feel like Kathy Hilton is like Sonia Morgan if she had managed to keep her marriage intact.
So interesting. Sonia is killing it this season. Do you agree?
I didn't watch last.
She's doing better. She looks a lot better. I think the bar for her was very low. Well, so comparatively,
right? But despite her. Like, she is getting, she is showing the world that it is okay to sort of be lost as long as you sort of have your head on straight for certain things. Like, she is, she agrees.
She's very open mind.
She has an open mind, and also, like, she knows that she has problems, and she admits that. But I think at the end of it, there's something about like her navigation of the world, even though she's slightly delusional, it comes off very relatable, and she comes off very likable. And I was watching something on Instagram about how, like, you know, Josh Flagg was like interviewing her or something, and he's like, "Are you depressed?" She's like, "Yeah, I get very depressed, but not the kind where it's debilitating. I can't get up because I have a daughter and I need to get up. People don't know this about me, but I'm a good mom and I need to get up for her." And it was just like that kind, those kinds of things you would never hear coming out of like Ramona.
Well, I think, you know? I was gonna say, I think she's benefiting from being next to Ramona and Luann, who are just like specifically Ramona is coming off horribly this season, and like they come off more like assholes. Like, at least Sonia comes off as like nice, and I think Sonia's benefiting from like sort of separating from the Ramona pair.
And she, it's just her, the way that she is feels less performative about everything.
Totally. Because I think genuine. She can't. Because I think she tried to like fake it for a really long time, and then it maybe hit her like, no, I can't. Like,
yeah,
she did have her Wells Fargo moment in the beginning of the season, though.
That was hilarious.
No, but even that, even though that happened, she admits that she has problems. Like, it's, she knows that she's like lost in her. But then in this episode, you, I don't know if you guys watched it, but you like understand why. Like,
I haven't seen it yet. Maybe that's why.
They share, like, she goes, they have a really good medium. And the medium like exposes something about Sonia's past, which you'll watch it and we can talk about another day.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy, Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself. And that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Betches. For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Speaking of big families, should we talk about my unorthodox life?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So I have a question. Do you think that everyone is watching this show or just like the other Jews that we know?
No, I think it's mostly the other Jews that we know.
Like, I feel like the buzz is mostly from like people that I follow on Instagram that are also Jewish.
Absolutely. I completely agree. It is mostly being watched by Jews as of now.
But,
doesn't mean that it will stay that way.
But the show Unorthodox was watched by everybody.
But that was also like that was
like a critically acclaimed like movie, also, I think. Right?
Also, it was eventually watched by everybody, not like in the first week.
This just came out.
Yeah.
Sammy, do you want to just share what it's about?
Okay, so it's basically about this family who used to be religious and now they are no longer religious, and the matriarch, this woman Julia, tells a story about how she basically left the Orthodox community, and then in a short 7 to 10 years is now the CEO and co-owner of Elite World Group, which is a massive talent agency that's been around for like forever. So it basically like shows the family, and it like kind of like, it has almost like a formerly Orthodox Kardashians vibe, mm-hmm. where like the mother is like, there's 4 kids, and the mother kind of like, you know, kind of works on their futures, and there's a bit of like a family
business tone,
and there's a ton of money, right. Lots, very lavish lifestyle, and you know, so it's kind of, you're following sort of like 2 plot lines, like both their careers and their aspirations, as well as like them reflecting back on their past being religious.
Right.
So that's the premise.
Who wants to share their opinions first?
Well, Jordana said she had a lot of opinions. I'm curious what those are, since I've already shared mine like everywhere.
I thought it was a very interesting story. The whole like, especially if you take it at face value, like the idea that you could leave this community at 42, it didn't seem like she had a college degree, and now she's like the CEO of this huge management company. They didn't talk about, I did a lot of Googling, I'm sure like everyone else on the internet, about the fact that her husband is a billionaire and owns the holding company that Elite owns. So he basically owns the company that owns
and
them.
He owns La Perla.
Sylvia.
So, which is a key fact, yes. Because La Perla is the company that bought her shoe company, which is how she basically like made her first money and her first like independent career move.
Right. I do think it's like, it is a fascinating story. I think the way that they told it was like a little cheesy and absurd in some ways. Like, and it was like a lot of it was like a lot. I don't think the children really came. I don't think the children were likable at all. Personally, like at all.
I only like Batsheva in certain scenes.
I liked some of them at like, I liked Batsheva and Miriam, but like at different times. But then I was like, okay, how much of this is actually them and how much of this is like them manipulating the show?
No, the whole thing was produced.
Of the show.
Right. To me,
all those plots were so fake.
Honestly, like to me, it came off like I had less respect for elite modeling.
Me too.
Agent. I thought it was a very bad look for the company in like
me
so
too.
Many ways.
I agree.
In that like one, like, oh, all the people who work there just happen to be like the son-in-law comes to her. He's like, oh, no one's buying real estate in COVID and I don't have a college degree. And she's like, oh, well, you dress well, like you could be a fashion designer here. Like, oh, have this internship with no knowledge, with no acknowledgement of like the fact that like that would be something that some like 16-year-old girl would like dream about, like, do you know what I mean? Like, there was like, oh, like, of course you can be like the influencer person, but first you have to get like your TikTok following up, and then like, the daughter's like, she's like, oh, I'm sorry, like I gave you the bad advice to ask for $20,000, but like here, like this woman from Aloe, like, is that how you say it?
Yeah, okay.
Like really wants you to be like, I have no idea. You know bad at pronouncing
Hello?
Things. I don't know. She
Hello?
Really wants to be your like your partner. It was like very, I think it made the company look and she's throwing like her son like a sleepover party in the office. I'm kind of like, is this a legitimate?
Wait, have you Googled the company's history?
Yes, I Googled all of it. I Googled Silvio's history. I Googled the whole fucking thing.
Elite's history, see, like they filed for bankruptcy like not so long ago. So
And he clearly bought it, or his holding company bought it out of bankruptcy. He's an Italian billionaire who was accused but then acquitted of tax fraud in 2010. So just go on that little Google search.
Right. The whole thing is like these, the characters weren't very well developed, I thought.
Also,
no, they,
do you know,
they were, because it, like, to develop them more would be to like make them look worse possibly. But what about the conversation where she was like, you know, for the IPO, like we can't have it look like nepotism, so we have to bring each child in slowly so that it doesn't look like nepotism, even though
it was just it is also nepotism. The IPO thing just came out of nowhere. Like it's not casual.
Well, she did say she was like meeting with investors in France.
I love the idea of like, you know what I mean? Like this Ben Weinstein character trying to be like the Scott Disick of this show, but just like,
oh my
being
God.
Like, I just don't like pants. I just don't like to wear pants. And also,
okay,
like,
that was so manipulated. Like, the girl, she had already been wearing pants. That
all
was
over
like,
the place.
Everything,
that was made
every
for,
scene was so
was
like
scripted
produced.
For the show.
They were
because
it
they
was
wanted
scripted.
To show because they wanted to show. Probably a struggle that had happened 5 years ago about pants. Like
I liked the dad, the ex-husband.
Loved
oh,
the
yeah,
dad.
Yeah.
Everyone,
and I liked
he came out the best of everyone.
The ex-husband,
the show.
Like when he talked to the son, like I thought that scene was really good. It also showed, I thought, how terrible Julia's in like way in which she was talking to her son about it, like she was in one line she was like, I want you to decide for yourself, but then thank God you're talking to girls,
right?
Like it was so not
I don't believe that he ever stopped talking to girls to
no that was
with,
so
because
I mean maybe he no. did. He was like, no. I don't think he's like could be like that good of an actor. He's like a 14-year-old.
No, I think
she
fed them.
He's wearing a Fendi shirt in like their promo pics for like the party for Netflix for this.
I think they picked out like real things that are issues for people as they're like leaving the community or becoming less religious, but they pretended like they were happening now. Like I'm not saying they never did deal with those things as they were becoming less religious, but like those things they clearly were not still dealing with, like whether Batsheva should wear pants or like the youngest son, like he already had a quote unquote girlfriend. Like if he was that religious, he wouldn't even know any girls. Like it's just like doesn't make sense.
I found it interesting like how like money kind of almost like seemed to be like they were like almost overcompensating for their like wanting to adjust to this like very secular world by just like throwing money in like everyone's face everywhere. It's like the more like if I'm bleeding to the Hamptons, like I'm a member of the secular, like that's my past. Like I'm it just like almost seemed like a cover for the insecurity of like not fitting into maybe like this world in some way.
It was very
honestly like I would flashy. Say that, but there are very flashy again, like, it doesn't make sense with what she was saying about her, where she came from. But there are very flashy Orthodox Jews who do care about, like, throwing money around, even when they are religious. So, like, I don't know if it's that as much as, like, her husband's a billionaire and they, like, do.
But, like, even her car, everything was, like, I want as much attention as possible and, like, through, like, my things and money and, like, it's funny because it made you think, like, okay, this, and I'm taking it, and maybe this isn't the most accurate, but the way they portrayed it is, like, I'm going against this world where everyone has to wear black and women have to cover their knees and have to cover their shoulders and, like, you have to be small, whatever. And I'm going the complete opposite, a 180. But to me, that also seemed very, like,
it went extreme in the wrong direction.
Right. It also seemed extreme in a very shallow, superficial way that also didn't feel good. Like, they, neither of those sides felt good.
I may just be, like, unclear on her timeline, but I don't think she ever came from a community where you only wore black. Like, that's not.
But she did come from a community where you had to wear a wig and you had to cover your knees and you got married at 19.
And that was all true. That was all true, but she was, no, you can drive. She was like, that's why it was, like, so bothersome to people, because, like, she didn't come from somewhere where she couldn't drive. Like,
but a lot of the things she did say are accurate. A lot of those
things are accurate, but they're not accurate of her, and they're not accurate.
You don't know that.
But the fact that she had to cover her hair. She did have to cover her hair, but some of the things she said about how like you can't ride bikes and you can't drive,
that's true.
I mean, her daughter got married at 19.
I'm not saying that these things are not true of everyone. I'm saying they were not true of the community she came from. And so she's basically co-opting a different. Okay,
but they're not true of her. No, but that's unorthodox. She's not pretending to be from a place where she only spoke Yiddish.
And she's saying
she came from a religious community, a black hat community, which, as you could see, like, was a lot of that. Maybe there's levels within it. But to the essence of what she was saying is that you had to get married young and cover your knees and you couldn't be a lesbian. And, like,
here's the thing.
Those things are true.
She could have stuck to what was accurate of. She could, like, that's not how she said it.
But it's TV.
It doesn't matter. She misrepresented and co-opted. Okay. This is why it doesn't make sense. Think about the girl in Unorthodox, how she comes into the world and she literally, like, doesn't know what, like, a stop sign. No, I'm not kidding. Like, she doesn't know anything.
That girl is, like,
so there's so many different levels.
It's irrelevant. That is irrelevant. That girl, the place she came from, is an entirely different place than the place that Julia came from. But okay, so if you come from a place where the girl in Unorthodox came from, you're not. No matter what, you are not becoming CEO of a company and you're not marrying this, like, Italian billionaire within the next 10 years or less. So for her to be like, to act like she came from that and that that's what she overcame is completely co-opting the experience of another community.
Though.
No, she was saying it. She was saying it as it applied to her.
She wasn't saying I came from that specific community.
She didn't say she was Hasidic.
Yeah.
She never said the word Hasidic.
She made those claims as if they applied to her. That was my watching of the show.
It's possible, though, when she was younger, it was like that. Maybe because she left when she was 40. Her daughter did get married at 19.
I think she misrepresented the place where she came from. Because there's a difference if you aren't allowed to drive versus if Orthodox Jews somewhere else are not allowed to drive that you do not associate with. Like, if you are the person who's saying, like, I come from this place where women can't drive.
I don't even remember,
like,
her saying the drive thing. I think more of what she was stressing was, like, I couldn't wear pants. I had to cover my body. I had to wear a wig. I couldn't do the things that the men were doing. I was treating as a second class citizen there.
Right.
And
if she had just stuck to the things that were accurate of her own life, those things would have been really amazing too. That's what, like my antenna went up, not that, like, that she'd said those things in general. It was that she applied them to herself and to where she came from when that's not where she came from, because it's a different life entirely. Like, you're starting at a completely
start. It's different level, but it's still the same sort of idea.
But here's the thing. It could have been just as good a show if she was just like, I felt really repressed at the level I was at, because like that level is repressive too, I'm sure.
Right. I'm just saying, like, I think
from my own experience it is, but
I'm just saying, like, I think that, like, having known those details, like, maybe she could drive. Like, to me, that doesn't change the idea of the community that she came from. It doesn't change my opinion of it.
So that was originally what I thought too. But for me, it's more like, okay, well, why is she like, why can't she just be like true to her experience?
I think it's kind of like,
and then when it starts to get to the nepotism, like it all feeds into sort of like I don't want to say like dishonesty, but it's like a murkiness about how she really got to where she is. Like how she didn't say that her husband bought the company and that's how she got the job.
And exaggerated some facts.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
But that said, we could talk about the show.
Oh, totally. But the reason that's important is because when you like omit and exaggerate, that is also a very bad look. Like,
I don't know. I mean, like, still, regardless, I think regardless of the fact, even knowing that fact that her husband owned this company, and she did say, I think that they met at work, like, whatever I'm saying, even knowing that fact, I still think it's like a very, like, to be able to, that she left this community. It's very, I think that's the whole thing. It's like very hard to leave an insular community.
Right. Which, and that would have been enough. That's the thing. That would have been enough to say.
That's all I took from it, though. I wasn't like, oh, like, she like, you know, obviously she didn't start at an entry level job, but she did create the shoe and she like sold it and she found someone to invest in it. And then La Perla did buy it. And
how,
like,
did she get the money for the shoe? Like, there's just more questions.
Surface level. Her story was very superficial in the way she
told
it. How
did she get money for a shoe prototype?
I really want to talk about some of the funny things that did happen in the show. Like, we also have not talked about Robert, like the COO who's 30.
Giant company.
I get it. Like, for us, we like started the company. We're like 32, 31. And
well, he's also from La Perla. So she must have brought him over.
Maybe. But like, I thought his scene with his mom was really good. Like,
I thought that was the best scene in the whole,
very emotional,
the whole show. I agree.
I really liked that scene. I thought the scene with Batsheva doing the styling on Zoom was the funniest scene I've ever seen, because I was looking at the Zoom boxes of all the people, literally shocked at what's happening right now. They were like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it was so forced with the underwear. Like, their acting was just so bad.
Did you not see that? Like,
what I'm saying. The kids are just
unprofessional. She was so unprofessional in like every,
I just
context,
really liked her.
And I was just like, I liked her too. Why. Here's the thing. I also liked her, but as I was watching her, I'm like, oh my God, she is so unprofessional. And like, how did her mother tell her to go back and ask for $20,000 after the deal was already done? Like, that is seriously the advice the CEO is giving you? Like, are you kidding? I also just didn't love how she just like felt like she manipulated all her kids constantly, and like,
yeah, I hated that.
Like,
I was like,
her orbit.
This is fucked up. What you're doing,
Robert?
Here's what I was wondering.
With like all his shit, she was manipulating him too, and just like, stop manipulating people.
What I was wondering is like, in an alternate scenario where she left this community and she became like, she was working in a shoe store, would all her children be like so like obsessed with her and so like into her? Like, I thought the money that she had was so
powerful.
She like used that to like, that's how she got her children to like come follow her and live with her. It's like, yeah, do you want to take a blade to the Hamptons, or do you want to go study Torah at Yeshiva?
Do you want to wear a Gucci sweater scene?
Right. Like, you can't take that out of the equation. It's such a big part of why her children are probably like obsessed with being less religious and more like her, because that lifestyle is like, looks pretty nice. And that's what I'm saying. I wonder if the story was, I left and I escaped this community and now I work at Modell's. are the kids like still like, what's mom going to say about this?
That is how most people who leave the religious community deal with it. Like, I will say that like Avi is a rarity about like what happens to you when you are like the only one of your family who leaves a religious community that you would like have a stable job in the secular world that you would like have a marriage that's like sort of just works. Like it's pretty rare that you would have that. A lot of people like who leave the community have a lot of like issues because they aren't able to assimilate because they didn't have that exposure. Many of them couldn't drive or like do things like that. And so that's why it's like really challenging and also like interesting. But they seem to have assimilated pretty easily.
Because of the money. I thought Miriam as a character was, while she was good, like so Gen Z, I thought that it was so frustrating to watch her scenes because she was such like, it reminded me of like when we were younger, like where you just think you know everything.
Right. She was like annoying.
Like that's what I mean. And I get it because I remember feeling, looking back at myself at that age and feeling like I thought I was the shit, that all of my opinions were 100% true. Totally. Like we, like, you know, you could just feel it coming from her. And I just thought that was like, while it was annoying, I understood what I was watching, you know?
Yeah, right. I totally agree. That's why I'm saying, like, they were all unlikable in their own special way. But, I mean, we're so much more we could talk about this. What, guys, let us know if you want us to keep talking about the show, because I feel like we could talk about a lot more next time.
I could talk about this forever. Yeah. I also, so we might be able to interview one or more of the family members. I really just want to ask Julia about, like, I'm really just curious about, like, the details of her career. Like, and how did that actually go? And the details of, like, how she left the community, which community she came from, what it was like for her parents to become religious. Because, like, I do think the show glossed over a lot.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more. Many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES at checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
All right, now it is time to play our At Betches game of the week. This game is called Name That Reality TV Villain, And to help us guide us through the game, we have our producer, Sean, America's favorite producer.
I got that title now. That's great. All right. We're talking about America's favorite reality TV villains. That's the game here. All right. You got your Erica Jane. You got Julia now. I don't know. Is Julia a villain? Because I haven't watched the show yet.
Not really.
Not really. Yeah.
She's more, like more of the hero. She wants to be the more of the hero.
She's like a Kris Jenner where she's both the hero and the villain.
The whole time I was trying to figure out who in my like Russian Jewish family orbit she reminds me of. Like she reminded me of someone the entire, all nine episodes. I was like, there is someone she reminds me of. And I could not figure it out. But anyway, I don't know if she's a villain yet. I think more is going to come out.
All right. Well, this game is called Name That Reality TV Villain. Each of you will take turns listening to a clip of a current or former reality TV villain saying one of their most memorable quotes. You each will get 1 point for a correct answer. Plus, if you get it right, you'll get a chance for a bonus point by answering an associated trivia question. All right. Is everybody okay. ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, at the end of nine rounds, whoever has the most points wins. First up is Jordana.
Ooh.
Who is the second voice you hear on this clip? Name that reality TV villain.
It's like it pisses me off that you think I'm always lying to you and I don't lie to
Jessica,
you.
Jessica, I'm telling you from someone who used to cheat on her boyfriend. Those are signs of him cheating.
Jordana?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God. I know.
Aileen, you do get a chance to steal here. Go ahead.
Kristen Cavallari.
Kristen Cavallari is the correct answer. That is from Laguna
from
Beach.
Laguna Beach. It goes, Jessica.
Oh,
wow.
Follow-up question,
okay. Jordana, you still get a chance to get this one correct. Kristen was a late addition to the cast of The Hills. On how many seasons of the show did she appear? And I will give you a hint. There were six total seasons of The Hills. How many seasons was Kristen on that show?
I think she came in the finale of the second to last season. Like, how many did she have any appearance? I think two.
The correct answer is two. Jordana gets 1 point.
Yeah.
Excellent job on that one. All
Does
right.
Aileen get any points?
Aileen, you get the point. All right, here
she
we go.
She gets the point. She got it right. I feel like it's
Thanks,
only
Sammy.
Fair.
Thanks, Sammy.
I feel like it's only fair. If you got it right, you got to get the point.
I find this 1-1. All right, question number two. Sammy, this is yours. Here's an audio clue. Who is the last voice you hear on this clip?
She's been dragged and ridden hard. And that's all I have
baby.
To say.
And so have your titties. You should get them done.
Shit. And so have your fucking titties.
Oh,
you should get them
done. I know.
Okay, she could steal it for me because I don't know.
All right, Jenna, you get a chance to steal this one.
I know.
Sammy can't pull it.
Is it Angelina?
The correct answer is Danielle Staub.
I knew it was from Real Housewives of New Jersey.
I knew it was New Jersey too, but I couldn't tell who it was.
Sorry.
Okay, now Sammy, speaking of New Jersey, here's the follow-up question. Who do you think Danielle is talking to in this scene?
No, she says, your titties, you should get them done. It was like...
And I'll give you a hint. There is a hint included. I did write this one down. She ended up pulling her to the ground by her ponytail while her back was turned.
Oh, Margaret.
The correct answer is Margaret Josephs.
Yeah.
What?
Sammy gets the point.
Yeah.
Okay, that is correct. All right. Everybody has 1 point.
Not Jacqueline's daughter, Ashley?
No, Jacqueline's daughter pulled Danielle Staub's hair.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
All right. Question number three. Aileen, this one goes to you. Name this reality TV villain.
This is going to be really hard for me to say. Okay. A month before everything happened, I did go to Vegas and have relations with somebody else.
It's Jax.
The correct answer is Jax Taylor.
That was so easy.
Well, you know, hey, some people find all of these easy. All right, Aileen, follow-up question. Jax and his now wife briefly had a Vanderpump spinoff series with a pretty bland name. You're going to fill in the blank on this title. It is Vanderpump Rules, Jax and Brittany Take Blank.
Kentucky
is the correct answer.
Now up Sean, are you being nice to Aileen because she's pregnant?
Perhaps. Listen, everybody's won one of these games recently, except
Pregnancy
for Aileen.
Brain so is real.
All right, question number four. This is back to Jordana. Name this reality TV villain. Who's the last voice you hear on this clip?
Were you trying to address me?
I just said you're the aspiring actress.
I haven't did any TV shows, and I have not been playing
been
with his heart. And he knows that. That's why I'm standing up here, and you're getting ready to get the boot.
Pumpkin is eliminated. The fucking bitch tries to call me out. She's telling Flav that I'm an aspiring actress, which I am.
Bye, Pumpkin.
Jordana, name that reality TV villain.
Okay, I don't know, but it's Flavor of Love is the show.
Okay,
I don't know the names.
You don't know her name? Does anyone want to try and steal
this
one?
Tequila?
It's not. I can't believe you guys don't know this one.
I never watched that.
She's actually been on our podcast network before as a guest. It is New York, aka Tiffany Pollard. New York.
Oh, now, I don't know who that is.
Follow up question after she did finish runner up on both seasons, first and second of Flavor of Love. Afterwards, Tiffany got her own spinoff as well. Name that series. Hint: you her nickname is New York.
Flavor of New York.
No, we
I'm
don't
surprised
know.
You guys don't remember this one.
It's not a remember thing. I never knew.
Okay, great. And the answer to this one is I Love New York. The show was called I Love New York.
This was like when we were freshmen in college, I think.
I don't think I was ever a Flavor of Love.
I was never a watcher.
I did watch Tila Tequila, though.
Oh, I was huge into Flavor of Love. I thought everybody knew
I didn't watch Flavor of Love.
All right, question number five, Sammy. This one goes to you.
No.
You guys are going to think this one's too easy, but it's a fun one. Here we go. Name this reality TV villain.
How does expect me to respect her man when she can't respect my lady? It goes hand in hand. Show some respect if you want to get it back, okay? Not giggle after you eat my girl's f***ing plate of food.
Sammy?
James Kennedy, and it was about the pasta.
I need him to do a full meditation series on Calm or Headspace because his voice is so good. Do you agree? Like, I would love to fall asleep to his voice.
He does have a great accent. He sounds more sophisticated than he really is. Speaking of not sophisticated, Sammy, follow-up question. What was the name of the event James Kennedy hosted weekly at SIR?
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
These are so easy.
Well, they always feel easy when somebody else gets
them
right.
I got Jack's.
I got Flavor of Love.
Aileen, you're going to love this one. Here we go. Next one. Name this reality TV villain.
Now I've realized that I'm probably just perfect, and it's everybody else around me that's got issues.
Aileen?
Scott Disick.
Scott Disick is correct. Scott Disick. Now, here's a challenge. I find this one challenging. Scott and his now ex, Courtney, have three children together. Can you name all three kids?
Oh my God. What is this? Amateur
hour? Mason, yeah. Penelope, and Rain.
I don't even watch the show, and I know that.
That is obviously. I didn't know Rain. I didn't know that one. So you get the point.
I can spell it for 500 if you want.
That's the point. All right, we're gonna fly through these last three. Jordana, next clue. Name this reality TV villain. Who is the last voice heard on this clip?
Okay, then you know what? Judge it made. You're the Queen of England, and we're all Trailer Park compared to you.
No, you're the only one in here like that.
All right. All right, Lisa, don't do crystal meth in the bathroom all night long, bitch.
Jordana?
All right, Brandy Glanville.
That is correct. Fantastic. And it's a hilarious clip. The Vanderpump Rules series originally kicked off with what SIR employee being confronted by Brandy Glanville over her relationship with her then husband, Eddie Cibrian. Who was that SIR employee, Jordana?
Sheena Shea.
She's not Shea anymore. Correct. Well, it was Sheena at the time.
I think she actually still might go by that, doesn't she?
She's just Sheena.
She wasn't Sheena Shea at that point yet, though.
All right, Sammy, this one was challenging for me because this is a show I haven't watched, but based on our conversation earlier in the show, I think you might watch this series.
So fun.
Sammy, name this reality TV villain.
I don't like Heather as a person, and I get annoyed by Heather all the time. It's just because of the way she looks, because of the way she dresses, because of the way she speaks. It's because of the lack of wheels turning up there.
Sammy, the wheels are turning. I can see it.
Is it the OC? It's from the OC?
I actually don't know.
Is it from Salt Lake? I don't know. That's the only shows with Heather.
Can I go?
Well, I don't know.
Well, that didn't happen. Yeah.
Selling Sunset. It's Christian Quigg.
That is correct. Yes. I meant it was a Netflix series. I'm sorry I threw you off.
You know what's great? That you did know, like, it was in LA. Like, yeah. Also, Jordana, New Jersey was a Jersey, but different show.
Yeah.
You can, the accents are distinctive. Yeah.
Sammy, quick follow-up question. You're a great test taker. You can get this from context clues. After Selling Sunset became a hit, what famous model and social media personality challenged the authenticity of Christine and her cohorts as high-priced real estate agents?
Oh, I forgot.
I know.
Jordana can have it.
Jordana, you can steal.
Chrissy Teigen.
It is Chrissy Teigen.
And they sold her house. I can deduce that.
That's right, because they sold her house. All right, last one. Aileen, name this reality TV villain.
Have another drink. You
talk to have another drink. As a matter of fact, I will.
All right, let's go.
I'm going home.
You know what? No wonder why you cheated on your wife.
Aileen, name that reality TV villain.
Which one? The woman?
The last voice. Yes, the woman. Do you want to hear it one more time?
Yeah.
You know what? No wonder why you cheated on your wife.
Oh, man. No wonder why you cheated on your wife. Oh, is it from OC? That's Tamra?
The correct answer is Kelly Dodd.
Tao, that didn't sound like her.
Who did she say that to?
Well, that's the question. Whose husband was she confronting in this scene?
Oh, I know this.
Okay, wait. It was Kelly Dodd yelling, "No wonder you cheated on your wife, too." Oh, my God. Was it? No, couldn't have been. Oh, my God.
Jordan's going to steal.
Is it Jimmy Edmonds?
The correct answer was Shannon Bedore's husband. It was Shannon's husband. Oh. The winner of today's game, Aileen, with 6 points, wins.
Yeah.
Reality TV villain.
Wow, I was way too anxious to answer that wrong. Okay.
All right, that is our show. I'm very excited I won. Thank you again for listening to the At Betches podcast. Guys, don't forget, new episodes come out every Thursday. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple or Spotify.
And in the meantime, follow all of us on Instagram. I'm at Sammy.
I'm at Jordana Abraham.
And I'm at Aileen. And talk to you next week on At Betches Podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Dana Samuel. Editing by Sean Kilby and Stacey Wong. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com. Betches.